I'm going to talk about the lack of guidelines for medicinal cannabis. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'd like to acknowledge my co-workers, some of whom are in the audience. And we have no conflicts of interest to disclose. We will discuss off-label use of smoked cannabis, which is commercially available, but we have no financial relationships to any companies or anything else like that. We'd like to acknowledge the grant support by the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine and the National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences. What resources are available to guide patients and clinicians in the use of medicinal cannabis? Have medical societies and government agencies created formal guidelines for medicinal use of cannabis, and are these guidelines evidence-based? So these are the three questions we set out to answer. So what is a guideline? What is guidance? What is information? Really, we mean by guidelines, by guidance, a structured protocol to inform diagnosis, management, or treatment. Obviously, guidelines should be evidence-based. They shouldn't just express opinion or a political viewpoint. They should cite randomized trials and use systematic reviews and base their decision-making on a transparent basis. When there's controversy, guidelines are more important. Like it's in the dark and in bad weather that you need more guidance, more a compass. We do research on HIV-associated neuropathy, and that's where our questions really came from. We imagined a general practitioner who has a question. Seeing a patient, he exhausted all the other conventional treatment modalities, and he wants to know if cannabis might be a choice. HIV-associated neuropathy causes pain, burning, tingling, numbness in the toes and feet. It can be caused by the virus itself or by the treatment, the antiretroviral medications. It affects a lot of people, about a third of the HIV-positive population, and we all know that AIDS is still on the rise. Besides HIV, there are other diseases like diabetes that can cause related conditions. The treatment options are really not satisfying. Opioids, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, antidepressants, gabapentin, they leave a lot of patients without satisfactory control of their pain symptoms. Cannabis may be an effective treatment. In fact, systematic reviews and meta-analysis of several randomized controlled trials suggest that smoked cannabis is effective for chronic neuropathic pain. Access to pain specialists is difficult for some people. Getting medication, there are a lot of barriers to that. So smoked cannabis may actually be a suitable treatment for a patient-centered approach, self-titration, in resource-poor settings. But cannabis is very controversial. It is legal in some states, medicinal use it is. Others still have it as illegal, and there are the federal guidelines on Schedule I drugs, and the federal government is still prosecuting the possession and distribution, even in states where it is legal. The legal status is variable and variably enforced worldwide. So in this situation, the doctors really are in need for some information, some guidelines, and patients alike. Is cannabis effective? Is it safe? So our study aimed to evaluate the availability and quality of clinical guidance on the use of medicinal cannabis. We conducted a comprehensive web-based search on the legal status of medicinal cannabis worldwide, and we sought to identify guidelines or guidance by governmental or professional organizations or other informal sources. We searched through PubMed, through Google. We went to government regulatory agencies and medical associations who we thought might be interested in providing guidance. And we explored the guideline development process where it was described to probe for conflicts of interest of the stakeholders involved. Last but not least, we wanted to know if the guideline we found was actually evidence-based. And we used as a litmus test the recommendation on neuropathic pain because we were most familiar with those results. So did they cite the studies? Did they quote the systematic reviews? And did they evaluate the evidence? This is a map of the status of recreational, not medicinal, cannabis worldwide. In red, the countries where we are sure it's illegal. In orange, where we think it's illegal but we don't know. And what looked orange before, I think it's like yellow, are the countries where it is illegal but it's not necessarily enforced. Bright blue are the countries where it is decriminalized. And dark blue, the countries where it is completely legal, recreational cannabis. For example, the Netherlands. This is the legal status of medicinal cannabis in the U.S., and as we all know, in a few weeks, things may change. It's very much in flux. I think Oregon has it on the ballot. And so the only thing I'm really sure about is that this map is already outdated. So we searched 15 North American medical societies for cannabis guidelines. We looked, for example, at the American Society of Anesthesiologists because we thought they might be interested in informing patients about appropriate treatment on pain, or the Academy of Pain Medicine, Addiction Medicine, American Cancer Society. We found no guidance, no guideline whatsoever for five societies. I have a hard time reading my slides here because the angle is so difficult. We found for 10 societies some guidance, some guidelines, some statements. Most of them were political on the need for further research to inform decision making. None of those guidelines was evidence-based in the sense that they cited randomized controlled trials or had a systematic review process or used the evidence that is available. We looked at federal agencies like the FDA, the NCI, the NIDA, the National Institute of Drug Abuse. None of them had any guidance about cannabis on their website. The NIH did have some guidance, but it was not evidence-based as per our litmus test. What other sources of guidance are available online? Most guidance about medical cannabis comes from organizations with a political agenda. So they're either in favor of legalization or against it. There's one politically neutral database of information, procon.org, and there are a lot of promotional websites of for-profit cannabis dispensaries. This is what you're looking at. So some information, like an ad. They tell you, yes, it might be good for this or that, but this is not evidence-based guidance or information. Yes, you can get cannabis on iTunes these days. So our conclusions are very clear. Most guidance on medicinal cannabis is marked by political bias, lack of evidence, and business interests. Few clinical guidelines have been published by medical societies. The guidelines, the few that are available, they are of poor quality, they're failing to meet any of the 11 criteria of high quality guidelines set forth by the Guidelines International Network, for example, such as disclosure of conflicts of interest or clearly stated recommendations, indications, contraindications, and the use of systematic review methods. Clearly, there's room for improvement. I would even say there's a vacuum. There is a lot of evidence. Sound evidence on cannabis. There are, if you go to the Cochrane Central Register of Clinical Trials, about 100 studies on cannabis, 50 studies on pain, for example, and several systematic reviews have been done on cannabis and pain. We're not advocating against or in favor of legalizing recreational cannabis. We're not arguing in favor of medicinal cannabis, but we're arguing in favor of using the best available evidence to inform this decision and individual patient treatment decisions. There can be no argument that future guidelines should be based on the best available evidence, clinical trials, randomized trials ideally, and systematic reviews and meta-analysis of the above. We feel that evidence-based guidelines on medical cannabis can improve patient care and reduce misuse.